All right, this afternoon, I did say to you, we'll be in conversation with Boshoff Khrobla, and we've been in conversation with him for the last 3 weeks. In actual fact, today, we seem to be wrapping up this conversation, really unpacking all things leading up to the elections. And tomorrow, you and I will be making our way to the polls, and I'm hoping that the conversation has been really encouraging you to make your way to the polls, because tomorrow we will be making our mark and casting our vote for the elections, the South African national elections. And Boshoff Khrobla is here representing Heal Our Land Institute, and just in terms of the great work that they're doing there, and of course, just being a great voice in encouraging us to vote with our ethics and really apply our minds and be responsible voters as we make our way to the polls, taking scripture into consideration in this entire conversation. And he joins us for this last leg of this four-part conversation. Boshoff, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. It's been a great journey, and really great conversations for the last 3 weeks and now fourth week.
I have enjoyed it thoroughly, and I am excited for the 29th of May. I'm excited for what that holds for our country.
I'm really excited just to see more and more people make their way to the polls. I think when we started this conversation in that first session that we had 4 weeks ago, we were speaking about how the numbers are really worrying in terms of how many people actually make their way to their polls. But someone could be listening to this conversation, missed everything leading up to now, and they're thinking, I still don't know why I should vote. Funny enough, I had conversations just yesterday with someone who was saying, yeah, I'm not sure if I'm going to go. So this still seems to be an issue. Why should people go vote?
Let me maybe for this listenership just focus in on the question, why should Christians vote? Let's maybe just maybe start there and look at our own house first. And this scripture comes to my mind, Psalm 89:14, which says, righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. And then the question is, okay, what is justice? And justice, very simply put, is the action that fixes things that are broken. And there are so many people in this country and outside of this country that have done so much and have fought so judiciously to fight for democracy for all. And we had that in 1994. So justice as it relates to the democratic process, okay, so we've been able to achieve that after many, many years. But the question then is, what is righteousness? If righteousness and justice are the foundations of his throne. So the righteousness is actions that recreate an environment where all can thrive. And the democratic process allows us to elect leaders that create and protect such an environment where everybody can thrive. And that is why it's important. Literally, it is a righteous action to go and vote. And I'll even say the converse. I would say to not vote or not to consider biblically who to vote for are rights of unrighteousness.
And I think for a lot of people, even with that statement that you just made, it's just, you kind of hear the penny drop and the pin drop, and you can hear it in the silence. But I think it's because it's that important for us to be taking it so lightly as to just be an optional extra into bringing the kingdom of God on earth. And I remember when we spoke, you know, when we praying the prayer, let your kingdom come on earth, it also looks like us being able to do this by making our way to the polls. But now, Boshoff, you know, there's people who are then going, okay, I don't know who to vote for. I don't know how to go about this. And you said something so specific, you know, saying taking a biblical approach to voting. And someone might be saying, I don't even know what that means. You know, I don't know how to, through the lens of scripture, consider who to vote for. And maybe you can bring us a recap of what we spoke about in that second week where we were speaking about that biblical view as we're reading through the manifestos and making the decision of who to vote for.
The manifestos, obviously, that's the place where you can see what parties stand for. And I just shared the structure previously of how I look at these manifestos. And I believe that my role as a Christian father, husband, business person in this space is I need to, as Christian, know God, love people around me, and have a positive impact in South Africa, having God's kingdom come to South Africa. So I take those three components and I then put that into the manifestos and say, for example, if I know God, I know what is important to him. So if life is important to him, then I look in the manifesto. What does the manifesto of a party say about the right to life through abortions and euthanasia? If I care about God's people in South Africa, then I look at, for example, morality of people. What does the party say about legalizing prostitution and pornography? And when I think about the space of South Africa and the economics of South Africa, I'm very, very concerned about any manifesto that goes against the free market and the free will that God has given us and has been ordained and put into scripture. So that's just the structure that I look at when I look at manifestos.
I think I love that so much because, you know, it goes beyond, and I've always had this outlook in terms of leading up to the elections to being responsible and going through the manifestos really requires us to shut out the noise that's out there, and the noise of social media, the noise of conversations with people around the water cooler, and family members in terms of what the party says, because what they'll say out and what you'll read is only a glimpse of what it is that they believe and they stand on, what they actually, as a party, they feel like these are their values. And I think what you've mentioned is things that we understand is close to our heart, which oftentimes we'll find ourselves talking about it right here on a show like this, saying, hey, there's this bill that's infringing on this. But voting now allows us to be able to add our voice before we get to the point of saying, hey, there's this bill that's making its way to Parliament. Please sign a petition. And I think we should be starting it here. But now, Boshoff, tomorrow, now a person has done the homework. They've managed to really shift their hearts and their perspective and shut out the noise of not voting. They're making their way to voting tomorrow. But let's talk a little bit about the practical things. We spoke about it last week a little bit, just in terms of what to expect when I get to the polls. And I think this is talking about the ballot papers. There's talks of three ballot papers, but not everywhere it's three ballot papers. I only know two ballot papers. Maybe you can bring a refresher, especially with people going to the polls tomorrow, of what they can expect when it comes to the ballot papers.
So it is going to be, if you've voted before, this time around is going to be different. There are some mark changes that came. So I think it's quite important for us just to consider what the papers look like and what the system look like. So in answering this question, it's going to get very practical and it's going to be very, wordy. So forgive me for all of that. But the first point that I think we need to make is we have what is referred to as a proportional voting system. So that's a big word, and you can infer a lot of things from it. But essentially, what that says is that we do not vote as citizens. We don't vote for a president. So we vote only for a party. So when you get your ballot paper, you might see a picture of a person, a leader of a party. That doesn't mean that you are voting for that leader. That just means that that is the leader of the party that you are going to vote for. So we don't vote for a president. We only vote for parties, and the parties that then make it into the National Assembly within 30 days, they then vote for the president. So that's the first point. The second point is that we as individuals do not vote for specific individuals to get into parliament or into the provincial legislature. We vote for parties. The parties then come up with lists before the elections, and they say if they were to get X amount of seats in the National Assembly or in the provincial legislature, this is the list of people that would make it into parliament and into the national legislature. So no system is perfect, but the biggest flaw I think of our system is and has been that we don't have direct line of sight of the actual individuals that will represent us in parliament. We only have access to parties and we only have access to the lists that they put together. But something magnificent really happened over the past 12 months where there was an amendment to our Electoral Act, specifically Section 24A, where for the first time, we are now also voting for independent candidates. So before we've never had that. We've only voted for parties. We only voted for a party and for a list, and we didn't have a say in the person. But now for the first time, there are independent candidates in our spaces, in our regions that will also now be on the list, sorry, on the ballot paper for you to vote for. So now you have line of sight of a person, not only a party and not only a picture on a ballot paper. So that's a massive, massive change. So that then has a change to how the ballot papers will actually work. So the ballot papers and the way that they are put together now is that we have three ballot papers. The first one is for the national parliament, for the national assembly. So you have one vote. There, you only vote for a political party that is named on the ballot. You can't write, one that you want to have on there and so on. You can only vote for those that are on the ballot paper. And then that vote that you bring will have an allocation of 200 seats, 200 of the 400 seats in the National Assembly. Still there, only parties, no independents. In your second ballot paper, that is for the National Parliament, but it is for the leftover 200 seats at the National Assembly. And this ballot paper, again, you have one vote, but you vote per region or per province. So here in this ballot paper, this is the space where you can vote for a party still, or you can vote for an independent candidate. Not in the first ballot paper, not the national parliament, but in the national parliament that looks at regions, you will see a section where there are independent candidates that you might know and that you might have met in your region, in the province that you are in, that will have the right to then stand on your behalf in the National Assembly. So the first ballot paper, only parties, 200 seats. The next ballot paper, parties and independent candidates, another 200 seats to the National Assembly. Those individuals and parties then vote for a president within 30 days. And then the last one is you've got a third ballot paper. That is for the provincial legislature. And again, there you have one vote for parties and for independent candidates. So the independent candidates are available to you at a regional level in the two ballot papers, but not for the national level, the one ballot paper. And again, that is a massive step, a step change in the way that we do democracy in South Africa. And many people have worked tirelessly to make that possible, to again refine our democratic process. And it's just my hope that this declining rate in voter participation that we've seen from 1994, 86%, 2019, 66%, 2021, 46%, that will just change, that people will step up and that people will do the righteous thing in stepping into the democratic process and really making a difference for us and for our children and for their children's children.
Yeah, and I think we absolutely need it. It really lies on us. And I think I feel the weight of what you were saying at the beginning. And I think it's a beautiful way to segue into to this part of the conversation, Boshoff, which is what we're speaking about today. A lot of people, and we kind of touched on this at the start of our conversation when we were trying to unpack why don't people want to go and vote. And one of the questions was, is it a hope deferred? Is it a case of people not really sure what to expect in terms of the future of South Africa and really not feeling hopeful of what the future of South Africa looks like? And maybe that's a question I'll pose to you. You know, when we think about life beyond the 29th, tomorrow's going to come, it's going to go, we're going to get the results, and there's life that's going to continue. And I think there's a lot of people that are feeling a little bit anxious of what that life will look like. You know, the last couple of weeks and months leading up to the elections have been really intense. And a lot of it, people are talking about it being electioneering. And a lot of it, some people feeling like it's a reflection of what's to come. It's only going to get worse. And it raises the question of, is there hope for South Africa beyond the 29th of May and the announcement once tomorrow has come and gone?
Many people have asked me, so I won't answer it abstractly. I'll just answer it for me as a person. That question, is there hope for South Africa? And I need to be very, very blunt that my heart groans for South Africa. My heart really groans for South Africa, and I tried to figure out why. And I searched my heart, and the Lord shared a scripture with me that that crystallize in my mind and my heart why my heart groans. And that scripture is Galatians 5, 13 and 15. The thing is that my heart groans because we are not yet free. So after 30 years of democracy, after many things happening in this country, we are not yet free. And the thing is that we have been called to be free. So this scripture, Galatians 5:13, says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use this freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another in humbly in love." And that love is a agape love. That is caring for others' love. That is standing for justice and righteousness for those that cannot stand for themselves. That is stepping into the process and go and vote. So I have hope for South Africa if people use the democratic process for what it's given to, and that is to stand for the freedom for those that cannot stand for themselves. So there are a few other things just in the nation that if people go and vote, and this voter participation rate just changes from this 45% and goes back to the 60s and the 80s%, there's massive things that are already changing in this country. And that gives me hope. So if people don't vote, these sprouts of green shoots might just whittle down and die. But if people go and vote, these sprouts really could make a difference. So the first thing that I'll mention is the extent to which the private sector and private individuals have made a massive difference in the past few months in our country. So we know about the business sector that said, "Listen, we're gonna step in, and we're not going to criticize government. We're gonna step in, and we're gonna do something about the state of our nation." And from that moment in time, and from the hard work that the partnership between government and business has brought, load shedding, and we feel it. I mean, we feel that every day, and the ease with which we can get to work, and the ease with which we can work, load shedding is down 61%. From the period December 2023 to February 2024. And people say, yeah, it's because they're burning diesel, and it's a lot of money that they burn away, and it's an election ploy. No, it is partnership of people humbly walking together, government and business, and load shedding is down, and we know it and we feel it. The next big one that impacts us is freight and roads and so on. So we know that we struggle to get things through our businesses to try to sell. So since these individuals in business have worked with government, there's a new CEO appointed to Transnet and to Transnet Freight. 36% less waiting time to anchor vessels at our harbors. 45% fewer vessels anchored outside of Durban at any given point in time. So those are massive shifts, and these are green shoots that I am really looking forward to, that when the voter participation changes the trajectory of democratic process in South Africa, these shoots will grow into trees. The other one is security. Security, over time, from 1994 to date, there has been a massive shift from how private security firms have stepped into the space that the SAP has left. And private security firms in 1994 had one security guard to 360 people, individual citizens in the country. And today there's one security guard for every 110 people. And that dynamic has just turned the converse for the SAPS, unfortunately. And then the last thing that I'll mention is the financial strength in this country. There's a The biggest capital base, probably in the history of this country, that is ready and waiting, sitting on deposit with banks to recapitalize South Africa if we have a good turnout and a good outcome of our elections. I say it's big because it's got a lot of zeros attached to it. There's 1.5 trillion rand sitting corporate money in banks, ready for the recapitalization. That money hasn't left the country. The money is here to be deployed to plant trees and build trees that we can all benefit from. So a lot of different things that I'm excited about if people go and vote.
Yeah, and I think it really rests on that. I think, with the picture that you've painted with those statistics really create a picture that for the average South African may not be privy to seeing those strides and really be able to see things from that vantage point in terms of how much more forward we've been seeing things moving and really the potential of how much even more forward it could go if people go and vote, if we stand up and we make ourselves heard. Boshoff, thank you for these last 4 weeks. I think it's been an absolutely incredible time. I mean, we're way past time, but I really wanted to give today enough attention because tomorrow people make their way to the polls, and I think it's important that they understand the importance of their vote, the importance of their role in this nation, and really the call of God on them, and the heavenly responsibility to be a part of this nation and to make their way and cast their vote. So thank you for really just unpacking this so beautifully in a way that I think, if not literally moving us to a place of saying we want to vote, it's definitely bringing us to a place of being informed of why we should vote, not just voting because it's the right thing to do, but because I understand that it's a responsibility of mine and its ripple effect into the nation. So thank you so much for the last 4 weeks. It's been absolutely incredible.
Thanks, Posi. It's been a privilege.
And that's how we wrap up this conversation with Boshoff Grobler. I hope that you've been really encouraged and really reminded of the value of your vote. And if you want to get more details, you can pop me a message for various things. You can send me a message if you want to see the ballots. Just send me a word ballot, and I'll send you those samples that we sent out last week of the different ballot papers, just so that you can see what it looks like and what you'll see tomorrow. If you want to get more details on what we spoke about 2 weeks ago, that your vote, that online dating platform, quote unquote, quote, that really matches you with a political party in a platform, sort of like a dating app, send me a message with vote, and I'll send you the details of that particular website as well. And if you want to just get to listen to more of this conversation, you can head on over to our website, www.impactradio.co.za, and over there you'll get all other three parts of this conversation outside of this fourth one. To make sure that for you, your friends, your family, where you eat, work, and play, you're able to really spread the message of why it's so important for us to vote. And come tomorrow and the sun shines, I'm sure that you and I will go and do the right thing for this beautiful nation.